Good afternoon. You're listening to KTNA Talkeetna, and this is another edition of Tips for Healthy Living. I'm your host, Holly Stinson, and joining me live in the studio today is Keith Kehoe, a physician's assistant at Sunshine Community Health Center. Welcome, Keith.
Hi, Holly. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great on a sunny, well, not so sunny, but March Friday.
But it's warm outside. It's probably in the 30s.
It's 36 and a half degrees.
Oh, look at that.
Way too warm.
Very good.
So are things heating up out at the clinic, too?
Yeah, it's starting to pick up. We're actually starting to see all of our pre-tourist employees come in, sort of getting the hotels up and going. So they're doing a lot of pre-employment things.
They're already coming in.
Drive vehicles, mm-hmm. make sure their employees are all up to date on things. So
healthy,
we're already seeing that. We're already
safe
seeing some.
And
yeah.
able to help mm-hmm. with the visitors.
So we're seeing that. We're seeing more things like falls that come along with this transitional type of weather where people are slipping and falling. There's been lots of sports happening at the high school, so we're seeing some activity
from there
and injuries such from that, those type of activities.
It doesn't seem – we haven't had the ice this year, but you can still fall, can't
you? Oh,
yeah. I mean, there's still a little layer under there.
It's there. And
and you're still out skiing and falling and injuring and –
Yeah, it gets to be more and more of a risk as we get a little bit older. So my basic reminder is you can't fall if you're over 50.
Okay.
And because we don't bounce that well. We break things when that happens.
Not like you see on the sports like the Olympics
those
crazy
snowboarders.
Thank you. That just bounce.
I know. Yeah, that doesn't happen at our age.
No, it does, and it never did it for me.
But we're still seeing some remnants of flu, influenza is still around. It's definitely in epidemic levels in the lower 48. It still seems a risk factor for travel. If you do travel, there's still a very high risk of being exposed to influenza. So I tell people to think about that. You know your risk factors. Know how to prevent it. The best way, washing of hands, we've talked about that before, but it's still proven the best. Influenza shots or immunizations will definitely help and decrease your chances for it. Staying well, I think, is just a general
healthy.
Message. Eating healthy, staying. This is a good time of the year where it's sometimes harder for certain people to be active because they may not be comfortable snowshoeing or skiing or something like that, which are real easy to do right now this time.
Because they don't want to fall.
They don't want to fall. And but if there's some way that you could somehow stay active, this is a time of year that's a little bit difficult for some folks. So finding a way to keep moving, whether that be a stationary treadmill in your house or something, just staying active. The Senior Center has a lot of really good equipment there that – I am just awestruck every time I go in that building and just seeing that.
Even just walking inside a building.
Yes.
I mean, even if you have to go to a mall and walk or something. But I think the school used to have and the senior center.
Yeah, allowing it.
Yeah. Just, I know. It gets boring maybe, but it's good to move.
I know Kathleen is trying to get activities to keep people active, like at nighttime coming in, whether that means bouncing a ball around or playing some volleyball or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm.
Staying active. I think other things we got coming up the clinic, we have a men's clinic coming up in April, which is just a nice reminder. It's offered at a reduced fare, but it's a nice way to just get the message out of preventative care and trying to keep people healthy. And I think that's probably where medicine should really stay or keep its focus, is that's where we're the most productive, is keeping people healthy.
Preventative
kind of care. And mm-hmm. and that involves everyone, everyone should be sort of active with sort of what do I need to keep myself healthy? And so it's just something to keep in mind, whether it be physically or emotionally healthy.
And before those clinics, they need to have blood work done and lab work done. So they need to plan a little bit ahead.
Yes, that's a good point. And I think that's when people get the most information, when in that visit, when they have the labs, we're able to go over them directly instead of a week later having like one of the nurses calling you and giving you a number that really means nothing over a phone. But if you're in person, it can sort of say, well, this is the proof that you're taking good care of yourself. You have low cholesterol, you have low triglycerides, your glucose is good. All those kind of things can be ways of sort of bolstering your motivation of staying well. So I think that's something we want to keep in mind. I think today what I was thinking about topics is I think over the last probably 5 years, I'm seeing more and more people experience a condition called blood clots. It's given a fancy name called deep vein thrombosis, and it's even given a newer name called a venous thromboembolism, which basically, in layman terms, it's basically blood clots in the legs. Typically, it forms in your lower extremities, typically your calf and the veins, some of the veins that are in your lower extremity. And sometimes we've even seen blood clots form in upper extremities, which is a little bit more uncommon, and it's actually a little bit difficult to diagnose and pick up, but that's becoming more common. And
and so what are the, I mean, how do you know if you have a blood clot, or will you know for sure?
It's it is the thing that is the thing that makes it really challenging is because it's a great fooler. And I've been fooled by this thing called blood clots, where people will come say, I just feel a little short of breath, or something's just not right, or, you know, my leg hurts a little bit. I mean, very, like, really non-specific kind of stuff where, you know, you can go into, well, they haven't done anything to traumatically get an injury, they haven't fallen, there's nothing that hit their chest, there's no heart things going on. And so typically what happens with a DVT or a deep vein thrombosis is you'll get a clot that will form in your venous circulation. So if you think of arteries that pump blood out to your extremities and veins take it back to the heart, there's a vein that, veins will collect the blood, and a lot of your blood will move through the veins through muscular contraction. So where arteries are under pressure, it comes right from the heart, pumps it right out. But veins, to get it back out, it is going from a greater pressure to a lower pressure, but you still need muscle contraction or movement to help get you to continue that venous return.
So it can be sort of sluggish.
It could be sluggish, hang out. We've got valves in our veins where, you know, things can get sort of pooled up and not move so well and form clots. And then if you do things like, what's some of the risk factors for clots? Smoking. Well, that's pretty common. Pregnancy. Being on a birth control pill. You could have a genetic predisposition for this of a clotting disorder, which incidentally usually happens in your second or third, maybe your fourth decade of life. All of a sudden, you just get a blood clot in your chest called a pulmonary embolus, and you end up in an emergency room, you know, and then you have to be on this medication. And then through blood testing, you're able to determine if you have one of these genetic disorders that can lend yourself to being what's called hypercoagulable, where your blood's a little bit thicker.
Okay. And it's a genetic thing.
It's a genetic thing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, common things like a couple people I've known have broken their ankle, and then they had to put a cast on, and that lend themselves to, they were not able to move their lower extremity, and the blood clot formed in their calf and went right through their lungs, and then they have pulmonary embolus.
Oh.
So it's really,
so these clots are very common. Form and then they travel.
They travel. Typically, sometimes they don't travel. So the other thing that can happen is you'll have some achiness in your calf. It'll get warm, red, swollen. And that's what usually brings people in. And then if you do some measurements, then you can tell by ultrasound whether there's a clot there or not.
Oh.
But if you don't, and sometimes people don't get this big, expansive, you know, swollen leg, and it's sort of vague, my leg hurts a little bit, or they make no, you know, they might have been on a bicycle 2 days ago and they didn't think anything of it, and they're experiencing a little shortness of breath. And that's why blood clots are foolers, because they're dangerous things where once they do form, they can go to your lungs, and when they go to your lungs, it's called then a pulmonary embolus, and you can die from that. It is sometimes if the clot is kicked free and it's big enough, there's even if you were in the surgery room right there with a surgeon right there, you'd still die. So it's something that can be very life-threatening.
I'm glad this is not TV, because I look terrified, I'm sure, as you're describing this, Keith.
It's and the thing is, it's with a lot of very healthy people. It's people that are maybe on a birth control pill. Well, what does birth control pills do? Well, they give us contraception for women, but they also make the blood a little hypercoagulable, more forming of clots. Oh. Smokers, it's real common. Their blood can become a little bit more thick and can lend itself to forming clots. People coming out of surgery, you know, a common surgery, any kind of surgery where you're having a lower extremity. You'll see people that will go into hospitals and they'll have what's called anti-thrombolytic stockings, or they even send them home with little squeezing devices on their mm-hmm. legs so no clots can form that lower extremity.
Because the outside is mechanically, whatever the gizmo is they give you,
it's a bit of a squeeze, and it's giving, and it's sort of mimicking that muscle contraction, which would help that blood keep moving kind of things.
So got to keep your blood moving.
Yeah, so, I mean, we talked about pregnancy. We talked about people going through cancer. If they have a diagnosis of cancer, their blood could become hypercoagulable and lend itself to clots. People that are overweight or obese, which have poor circulation through lower extremities. So these are things that affect, yes, you know, people that are not in good health, but also very healthy, healthy people in the primes of their life. They could be experiencing a deep vein thrombosis, and then, bam, they get a blood clot, and they can die. It's not uncommon, and it's something that will fool a lot of emergency room doctors where they think it's just anxiety because people are feeling a little short of breath. They don't know what it means, and they're in a new relationship with somebody, and they think it's just anxiety, and
they can die.
They can die. So the thing that's very important to keep in mind is that there's medicines that can prevent this from happening again. There's some very good new oral thrombolytic drugs out there, and they will prevent this. And sometimes, once you get the condition, like you do have a blood clot or pulmonary embolus, you're on this medication for at least 3 months, sometimes six. And if it's a genetic predisposition that's been found out in your blood, you'll be on it for life.
Forever.
Because you can have this happen whenever, wherever kind of thing. And these newer drugs, they have big fancy scientific names, but they're commonly called things like Xarelto, Eliquis, Bryaxa. All these kind of names
that
are...
They all sound sort of floaty, lovely little names.
Yeah, I know. And so they're basically allowing your blood not to get into that hypercoagulable state of forming clots.
Where it's thicker and it can form clots.
Yeah, I mean, forming clots is important when we need it.
If you get a cut or something like that, it's important.
And they don't really necessarily stop you from that ability, but it's from forming clots in your lower extremities, or your upper extremities, anywhere in your body kind of thing. So it's something that's very treatable. It's something that affects a lot of different populations, healthy populations, people that are young, old. It's something that I just tell people to be careful of, things like shortness of breath, lower leg swelling with redness. If you're having any of those kind of things, get that checked out. Or at least be thinking about that. I think it's an easy diagnosis once people are thinking about blood clots.
Be aware of that possibility.
Because it does affect very healthy people, and I hear about it all the time. A healthy young female on birth control all of a sudden gets a blood clot.
I was going to say, for prevention, they can be moving, they can be as active as possible,
exactly.
But they're on birth control, and that can lead to it. Or they don't even realize, but genetically it could lead to it.
It's a very low percentage of those people, but it's still a risk factor. So it's something to think about, and that's called a deep vein thrombosis.
A deep vein thrombosis, or a blood clot.
Or a blood clot.
Or a venous thrombotic, whatever.
Embolism.
Yes. Okay. Well, if you're just tuning in, we are wrapping up another edition of Tips for Healthy Living. I'm your host, Holly Stinson, and joining me today has been Keith Kehoe, physician's assistant out at Sunshine Community Health Center, making us all aware of blood clots and deep vein thrombosis and how important it is to pay attention to the possibility, because you could end up dead in the emergency room. Oh, dear. I hate to end on such a note, but it's wonderful information to have. It's a good tip for healthy living, Keith.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For coming in today.
Thank
making
you very
this
much,
show
Holly.
Happen. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.